Starting a new series this evening, and we really haven't. It's not really starting a new series. We actually began with the Mother's Day message, but Mother's Day was followed by Memorial Day weekend, and we wanted to do something in recognition of the Memorial Day weekend. And so we're really continuing on in a series of messages dealing with family relationships that will go on past Father's Day. This evening, we begin this one. We're going to look at this is actually a two-parter. We're going to give the first part tonight and the second part next week. We like to do it in that order most of the time, just to keep so people can understand where I'm going. Well, anyway, I saw this. I thought this was good. Well, no, I should make commentary on stuff, I guess, on this. Says a wife mentioned to her husband that for her birthday she would like something that accelerates from 0 to 100 in 4 seconds. She was expecting something like this. But her husband presented her with something very different. The husband is now hospitalized. Please pray for him and avoid bad jokes. You know, I don't know why all the good magazines, you know, they die out. You know, notice that. Ones that finally you get interested in, they, for some reason, they just don't keep going. And here's this magazine. I think I can get, there we go. You probably can't read all that stuff up there. I'm going to help you. This is Housekeeping Monthly from May 13th, 1955. And I had some wonderful tips here for the Good Wife's Guide. And by the way, you will notice that some words usage has changed since this was put out. But it says here, again, the Good Wife's Guide, have dinner ready. Plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious meal ready on time for his return. Oh, boy. Oh, anyway. This is a way of letting him know that you have been thinking about him and are concerned about his needs. Most men are hungry when they come home, and the prospect of a good meal, especially his favorite dish, is part of the warm welcome needed. It's better. Prepare yourself. Take 15 minutes to rest so you'll be refreshed when he arrives. Touch up your makeup. Put a ribbon in your hair and be fresh looking. He has just been with a lot of work-weary people. Corey Jim asked me to read all these this evening. Now, here's where some of the word usage changes what we use. Be a little gay and a little more interesting for him. His boring day may need a lift, and one of your duties is to provide it. Clear away the clutter. Make one last trip through the main part of the house just before your husband arrives. Gather up school books, toys, paper, etc., and then run a dust cloth over the tables. Somebody probably not look up what dust cloth is. You know. Okay, over the cooler months of the year, you should prepare and light a fire for him to unwind by. Your husband will feel he has reached a haven of rest and order, and it will give you a lift too. After all, catering for his comfort will provide you with immense personal satisfaction. I'm getting some amens there. They may change by next week, though, once they get to consult after going home. Prepare the children. Take a few minutes to wash the children's hands and faces. If they are small, comb their hair, and if necessary, change their clothes. They are little treasures, and he would like to see them playing that part. Minimize all noise at the time of his arrival, eliminate all noise of the washer, dryer, or vacuum. Try to encourage the children to be quiet. Okay, be happy to see him. Greet him with a warm smile and show sincerity in your desire to please him. Listen to him. You may have a dozen important things to tell him, but the moment of his arrival is not the time. Let him talk first. Remember, his topics of conversation are more important than yours. I'm not making this stuff. It's up right out of the magazine. It must be good because it's House King Monthly. Here we go. Make the evening his. Never complain if he comes home late or goes out to dinner or other places of entertainment without you. Instead, try to understand his world of strain and pressure and his very real need to be at home and relax. Your goal, try to make sure your home is a place of peace, order, and tranquility where your husband can renew himself in body and spirit. Don't greet him with complaints and problems. Don't complain if he's late coming home for dinner or even if he stays out all night. Count this as a minor compared to what he might have gone through that day. Yeah. It's in the book.
It must be
yes. It must be true. It was put in print. So. Make him comfortable. Mm-hmm. Have him lean back in a comfortable chair or have him lie down in the bedroom. Have a cool or warm drink ready for him. Arrange his pillow and offer to take off his shoes. Whoops, that goes back to Anita's thing, was it last week? Speak in a low, soothing, and pleasant voice. Don't ask him questions about his actions or question his judgment or integrity. Remember, he is the master of the house and as such will always exercise his will with fairness and truthfulness.
Amen.
You have no right to question him. And the final one there is, a good wife always knows her place. We'll look at growing godly families this evening, the first part, and the four love needs of men and women. We're going to do two of them tonight, but you know, this is the season in which many people are out busying themselves and planting things, planting flowers, planting vegetables, planting gardens, planting, you know, they're planting a lot of things. And to ensure their growth, of course, there are some things that you want to do, and people, if they want to retain them and want them to grow, do those things. They want good seeds, and they want good soil, they want good fertilizer, they want good water, they want the best lighting. Well, the makings of a marriage is only as good as the materials that you put in it. We're going to spend the next several weeks on marriage and family, and we're going to start this evening with the four love needs of men and women. I want to look at Hebrews 13, verse 4. It says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be unpolluted, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge." Godly marriages have certain needs, and they must be met in order for them to flourish. And I hope all my married listeners will work harder at meeting the love needs of their spouses. How well are you doing at meeting the love needs of your spouse? Well, let's look at two love needs that every marriage needs, the two that we're going to look at tonight. The first is unconditional love. It's the first love need of men and women, is unconditional love. You know, God's love for us is unconditional. Ephesians, the second chapter and the fourth verse, says, "But God was merciful. We were dead because of our sins, but God loved us so much that He made us alive with Christ, and God's wonderful kindness is what saves you." You know, God loved sinful man before he trusted God. You know, before man existed, God loved him. God loves me even though I don't deserve it. Even though I fail miserably, I come up short emotionally and spiritually and rationally, God loves me. And even though it would be easier not to love me when I disappoint Him with my thoughts and my words and my actions and deeds, He still loves me. And even though my heart is full of pride and my thoughts are about self-control, God still loves me. He loves me and He accepts me no matter what. And that's how I know what unconditional love is. I have seen the source. The number one love need for men and women is to receive unconditional love from their spouses. Hebrews says to us, "Let marriage be held in honor among all." It needs to be honored by all, yes. However, it needs to be honored by the marriage partners first. You know, I've seen marriages made of two spoiled kids. Each person wants their own way, and when they don't get their own way, they get angry and they resent the other person because they didn't get their way. They're married, but they never really ever experienced the joy that marriage can really be. How can you show unconditional love to your spouse then? Well, first let me start with some suggestions for men. You know, compliment her every day. You know, she asks a question like, "Hey, now, honey, do I look all right?" And you say, "My dear, you've never looked bad." You know, talk with her and listen. You know, listen and silent are spelt with the same letters. So respect her opinion and serve her are just a few of the things. For women, show grace with his weakness. You know, forgive. You know, failures aren't always fatal. And say to him, you know, "God and I still love you, you know, no matter what's happened to you and what you've done." Affirm him whenever you can. You know, sometimes we find it's easy to affirm our kids or our friends or and other family members other than our spouse. We just never affirm them. Take time to connect every day. And that's that means talk. Study him. What are his strengths and weaknesses? Build on his strengths and strengthen his weaknesses. You know, human love says, "I love you if." God's love says, "I love you even." Unconditional love is different than all the other loves in the world. You know, men and women in marriage need to know that they are going to be loved no matter what. Not loved if. Unconditional love is a need to a godly marriage, but it's not the only one. The second one is intimacy. It's the second love need of men and women. Genesis, the first chapter and verse 27. "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." God made us, and He made us, guys and gals, differently. Especially in areas of intimacy. Men spell intimacy, S-E-X. Women spell intimacy, T-A-L-K. You know, several years ago, a letter appeared in the Dear Abby column that addressed the subject of sexual dissatisfaction. And the woman's letter noted that she was 50 years old. She'd been married 30 years. The letter said she had just about given up on sex and was tired of it because there was no satisfaction in it. And this woman said she continues to have sex because of her love for her husband and his desire for sex. And as for her, she has no desire for any more. And so she signed her letter, tired in Lincoln, Nebraska. Within 2 weeks, Abigail Van Buren received over 250,000 letters from women that voiced their agreement with that letter. A U.S. News and World Report says only 26% of women experience mutually satisfying sex. That's only 1 in 4. Now, there is a large rank of men who complain because their urges go often unfulfilled, but it's because they are not taking the time for intimacy. Hebrews 13:4 again says that let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be unpolluted. For fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Honor and communication come before the physical. Men, you know, your wife needs to have emotional needs first and then the physical. Women, much of your husband's masculinity is wrapped up in his sexuality. So you need to learn to speak others' language of intimacy. Now, the writer of Hebrews gave some pointers to growing a godly marriage. Godly marriages have certain needs that must be met in order to flourish: unconditional love and intimacy. And I hope my married listeners will work harder at meeting the love needs of their spouses. You know, your marriage can be the most fulfilling relationship you will ever have outside of your relationship with Jesus Christ. But you must work at having that relationship. How well are you doing at meeting the other's spouse's love needs? A little girl was asking her mother about the fairy tale Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And she wanted to know if she knew how the story ended. And the mother said, well, Snow White and the prince lived happily ever after. And the daughter quickly corrected her mother and said, Mommy, they didn't live happily ever after. They got married. I leave you with this question again for this section of this week. How well are you doing at meeting the love needs of your spouse?